You don't have to be a specialist like with a high degree or PhD. You could just be in project management, and that's an asset. An organized person is the biggest asset. Willing to work and learn is the biggest asset anybody can have.
It's Catherine, your host of the Space to Build podcast, the show that highlights the paths women in architecture, construction, and engineering take and shares items for you to apply in your own career or company development. In this episode, we chat with the confident and inspiring Julie Lawton, CEO of Julie Lawton Design Build and JLGC. We chat about her unique background in architecture and construction and a handful of pro tips on project management and how you can transition your PM experience into your own business. This conversation is a reminder that your voice and your experiences matter. You bring value to every table. Bond Civil and Utility is a premier full-service construction management and self-performing general contractor working for the civil, utility, power, energy, and infrastructure markets. Bond is well known for delivering reliable, safe, and high-quality work with offices in Massachusetts, Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, and Rhode Island. Bond employs more than 700 building construction professionals, including 460 field staff and 54 administrative staff members. For more information, please visit www.bond-civilutility.com. Why don't you get us started with who Julie is as a human being?
Well, I am a very talented and nice person. Like, I'm kind and, you know, considerate. So I'm like one of those artist types. I sense things. Not that I'm emotional, but I sense everybody's energy. So I'm very aware of my surroundings and how people feel and what people are thinking. Because my job as a designer is to get people's thoughts out of their head onto paper. So my natural personality works well with my profession because I am interviewing and, you know, analyzing and really listening to what people say. So my biggest talent besides being an artist is I'm a good listener.
That makes sense. I can definitely see that from our conversations. So what brought you into this design contracting world that you're in right now?
Well, it started with me drawing things like dogs, cats, horses when I was 8, 9, and 10 years old. And then it turned into buildings. So by the time I was 14, I had mastered mechanical engineering, which is drafting and drawing and 3D spatial awareness of how to build something. So I was good at that. And then I focused on mechanical engineering in college and architecture and landscape architecture and interior design, which is really how humans function in the space and the workspace and the home. So it's really about the function. Because interior decorating, which is buying sofas and rugs and accessories, has very little to do with the interior design. It's the final touch and it's super important, but the interior design is really the function of the space and the lighting and the windows and the artificial lighting and the flow and the space plan. So that was my thing. And then I was just all about architecture design and history of architecture and how to make things look great and function great. And I did that in New York City for 7 years. And then when I moved to California, I got out of commercial and I went into residential and realized, oh my gosh, these contractors aren't the same as the commercial contractors. They're not as organized or professional, and they're not sticking to the law. And so, and the rules, and so after experiencing residential contractors, I just became the contractor to solve my problem with it and my client's problem with it. So it was a natural next step because I was standing in the dirt solving problems since I was 21 years old in New York City. So it was a natural process to just become the contractor, and that solved it. And it changed my life and it changed my client's life.
I know right now you're in California. So what was that transition from New York to California like, and how did that transform the next stage of your career?
Oh my God. I was working for people in New York City, you know, like we all do. We go to college and our thing is get a job, get a job. So I had jobs with the best people. I was working for the top 5 developers of Manhattan, and you couldn't get it better. You know, I made it in New York City. So when I moved to California, I automatically thought, okay, I'll find another job. And I couldn't find a job in architectural firm. And the people I met with, they said, you're overqualified. I go, what does that mean? I couldn't find a home. So I got a job in a retail custom kitchen showroom on Robertson Boulevard. And I never worked retail. I never worked residential. I didn't know I was a natural born saleswoman. whatever. But I sold $1 million of cabinets the first year. And that's where I found some of the clients I still have today. And I was in every house in Hollywood, Beverly Hills, Palos Verdes. I was all over the place because kitchen sales takes you everywhere. And then I moved to Newport Beach and opened a kitchen showroom. And then I moved to Laguna Beach, which is now like where I call my home base. But that residential exposure is what got me into, oh my God, residential, they need a lot of help. Oh my God, there's so many options and not enough professionals. And then it led to me becoming a contractor. So that's kind of how it evolved. It went from me not being able to find a job, and I was forced to reinvent myself. And that reinvention of getting a job where I never thought I would ever work, gosh, retail, that's not architectural, but it kickstarted to starting my own business. I was basically forced to do it at 29 years old. And it was like, thank God, you know?
Yeah. So that's pretty intimidating to do, but I understand the logic and how you kind of built everything up and you're like, this is the obvious next step. What was the biggest challenge of starting your own contracting business at 29?
When I started my own business at 29, I was just the designer. I had no house. I had no car. I had to rent an apartment. First, I rented a hotel room the first week in LA and a car, rent a car. And then 2 weeks later, I got an apartment. I bought a car and I had to have help. My grandma helped me. So it's like, when you start your own business, you have no money. And that's the bottom line. So I started my business as a designer, but the word of mouth is me as the girl that can actually draw everything. And she'll draw your kitchen and your house. And, you don't have to buy cabinets from her. She just designs for you. Got spread around. And then I had this really nice thing going on as the designer for, I would say it was almost 10 years. And then I became the licensed contractor. So I had my feet clearly planted on the ground. But when I became the contractor, it changed the business structure to another animal. So you go from, 100,000 in sales to 1 million in sales. So that's was the biggest challenge, is finding the people, setting up the infrastructure. And I just redid a bunch of that last year again, because now we're at 10 million in sales. So it's growing. So you're constantly finding the competent help, building the foundation. That's the challenge, because I did a lot of this myself for way too long. So the challenge was delegating and finding the people you can know how to work with. And in order to find people that you can work with, you have to know yourself first. So I had to do a lot of what you call self-help or self-analysis. And I'm really good at that. So I know me and I know what I need. You got to define the roles. What is everybody doing? What is the other person doing? So I have like these checklists. Every single person that works for me has defined roles and is written down and adjusted constantly as needed. But there are roles and rules and guidelines, and we all do what we're good at. So, yeah.
It sounds like you thrive on that structure. Were you always that structured, or was that like also part of the learning experience for yourself?
My mom told me that when me and my sister, I have a younger sister, and we had shared a room when we were little kids. And then when we separated, when we were 8 or 9 years old, my sister got her room and I got my room. And night and day difference, my room looked like a little soldier's room and everything was neat and organized and folded. So I am born this way. Yeah, I have an A-type personality, which I didn't know until I was like 30. And I'm an ENTJ, which is 5% of the personalities. I'm like a general. I want things done and I need organized. And I make a list every day and I make goals. It gets done. I'm a master manifester, we're getting something done, we're getting it done.
Many of the people in the Space to Build community come from a project management perspective. So they're not necessarily the entrepreneurs, not yet. So they're the employees, and a lot of times they're juggling multiple projects or at least multiple tasks. So you've talked about how important planning is for you. I would love to dig into that a little bit more so we can start giving the community some tips and tricks on how to manage their project so they're less stressed and just feel like they're ready to like grow their career more because they've got some of these templates in place. So what are some tangible items that you deal with that help you stay organized when you're feeling overwhelmed on a project?
Okay, so my favorite thing to do is make list and file and sort, which really means, so I make a list. I went through this exercise once. This is a tip for everybody. Write down everything you do every 5 minutes all day long and do it for a week, and then go back and analyze where you can save time by having someone else do this, or where you're doing stuff that you're not good at, and go back and fix it. But here's how I calm myself down when it gets overwhelming. I have a list. I call it my weekly Bible. I have a list of everything we're doing on every single job, per job, from the beginning of the job to the end of the job. And it starts with the plans, the architecture, the engineering, the design, the city submittal, the pre-construction bidding, the contracting schedule, all the way down to final walkthrough. I have a master list, probably 2,000 or so items long, on every single job. So I just check the list, and that's per job. So every job you have, there's a list of what needs to be done by you. And then you can also look at what everybody else is doing and see where maybe they're falling behind or holding you up. Because, you know, part of every day is, where's my stuff? Where's my stuff? Where's my answers? I can't go on to the next step. So you make a list of what's missing and what you're doing. So then me as a boss, what I also do is I take that same list and I break it down into what each person is doing. So I have all my workers and all my subs and all my vendors. What are they doing? What do they owe me? Where are we at on the schedule? But I have this huge master list from A to Z, conception to completion, actually written out. And I've had this list for 30 years, but I finally got it on my computer in a nice, neat format that we all share. And that's how we work. And we have it on Asana, which is a place where we can all go and share. So we stop the thousands of emails. But it's really about making a list and capturing everything, because you'd be surprised, just writing it down relaxes me. And I just manually write it down. Then I punch it in the computer on my list. That's how I do it. And it makes it so simple when you have the list, because then you can calm down and see everything, the big picture. You got to have the chutzpah to bug people. Where's my stuff? And don't be afraid to say, hey, I want it. You said Friday, it's Monday. Where's my stuff? I'm polite, but I'm like, where's my stuff? And I want it today, because I'm the boss, so I can do that. But when you're working with other people, you just have to set deadlines and expectations. And then there should be no anger or frustration if you have a system, is my point. Yeah.
Yeah. I also thrive on lists. And I found that once you're writing it all down, you have a game plan. You can just take that mental load off and just go, okay, what is on my paper? That is what I'm focused on. I'll break it down if I need to. So I've heard of people using Asana or Asana, however you want to pronounce it. Were there other tools that you looked at before then, before deciding on this one?
Well, there's BuilderTrend. But I looked at something that could be used for any company, because BuilderTrend is just for contractors, but I think Asana is a little easier to use. And we still use Google Sheets for Gantt calendars and documents, but I found that one to be the easiest to use. But there's several similar ones, and I can't think of the other two ones that are universal, but BuilderTrend is the other one that's commonly used. And I tried to design my own, but Asana was the easiest, because I can plug in my checklist. You know, I have a 7 simple steps on my website of what I do, that it's under what makes Julie unique. It's just the whole process is broken down, so you can see the order. So the other tip is, know what the order is. What is the architect doing? What is the designer doing? What is the process at the city? And why is it taking so darn long? But there is a process, and it really isn't a matter of taking too long. It's a matter of, it is a process and you have to be patient. But if you understand the process, that helps a lot too, because there's nothing like being blind. Like, why, if you don't understand what you're waiting for, you know, because contractors are waiting for a ton of stuff from other people. The contractor is the last guy.
Yeah. So far, we've got understand yourself, how you operate, writing down all the tasks that you need to do, find a good place to store all those items, and then to also just understand the process. Overall, is there a next step here that you would suggest?
Well, the thing is, if you've mastered that and you've taken the Myers-Briggs personality test and really know that A to Z, from this conception of design to completion of construction, you don't have to work for a company. You could start your own business of project management, because project management is missing on every job. Because guess why? The client hires an architect. Then they have to hire the 5 engineers, and then they have to hire a designer, and then they have to hire a landscape guy and a pool guy, and then they hire the contractor. And that means managing all of those people's schedules because they're not going to manage each other, and they're going to probably try to trip up each other to make themselves look better. So you got that going on. So project managers alongside of a husband and wife or a couple, a team, partners, is probably the best thing you could hire on a large scale residential, because it's impossible to manage all those people and expect your architect to follow up with everybody and then follow up with the contractors. It's not going to happen. There are some contractors that provide design build and they will manage all of that for you. But the typical scenario is not. You're just hiring those people individual. But the next step is look at design build companies that have that service offered, because there are contractors that offer to manage that. But you still pay and work for your architect and your designer and your engineers direct. But they offer that management and that comfort of getting you done under one roof management. So that's just a hint. There's design build is supposed to manage it all. And you're not supposed to be managing the architect and the engineers in the process at the city. So It's there's a endless amount of opportunity in this business for every facet and every personality and every talent, is my other point, because of the fact it goes from design to build to project management. And your passion might be like mine. I like the design, or maybe you just want to see how it's built and you like the construction. So there's endless opportunity for work in this business, is my point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So once you've, you know, gotten some experience under your belt as a project manager for a company, whether you're coming from a residential company or coming from a commercial company, what would that transition look like going into what you do with high-end residential contracting? Like, what's that first step to that entrepreneurial move?
Well, you can work for design build companies, again, as more of a specialist, that you're actually providing a specialized service that they don't have. Or, you know, because architects, like I said, only do the plans and the city submittal, but they don't necessarily manage the engineers. So you could provide project management to anyone building a house, because there are people that out there that, which I don't advise, owner builder, that do things on their own. But the point is to hook up with the companies that don't offer the services and, you know, see if it's available in the arena of the build. So homeowners need project managers, period.
Yeah, especially ones with experience. So from my experience, if people want to go and pursue a deeper understanding of project management, they go off and get their PMP. Is that PMP just as useful on a residential side, or is there specific courses or certifications that make more sense for a residential contractor instead of just a general?
No, because the PMP, that covers all projects, because commercial projects are the same, but when you get to residential, the permit process is just different for every state and every city. So you know you just have to learn this, because the problem is a lot of people that come to Laguna and Newport, for example, they don't understand what you have to go through to get a permit in Laguna, because there's another thing called design review precedence for the neighbors. And then in Newport, it's all about working in the sand. So it's basically to know the city codes and regulations. When you go to get your experience, you're only going to get that by working with the city and submitting plans. And, you know, the plan runner, the guy that takes the plans in, you know, gets to hear all this and learn all this, because I was always my own plan runner. So you learn everything by standing at the counter and going through the permit process, which is really the plan check process. Pulling the permits, one thing. Plan check process is 6 months to a year. And that's when you learn your city codes and regulations. So, you know, working for an architect, if you're, you know, just because you're in the construction business doesn't mean you can't learn architecture and design, okay?
Yeah, and having like a full understanding allows you to set those expectations with a client who doesn't have that construction background, and they just assume, oh, it'll be done ASAP. Like, I don't have to worry about anything. But knowing the ins and outs of how your municipality works goes a long way. And I love that you have your design background, because when you cross over into another perspective, you are so much more valuable because you understand the communication process. So what's been one of the latest projects that you've worked on that just really showcase who you are? Like, I just want to hear about some really cool projects that you've been on.
Well, I have two projects in Laguna. One of them's a 1938 vintage cottage that was a single wall construction built by my client's father. And we turned it into a gym because we took the single wall construction and made it 2x4s and insulated it. So we saved the roof framing and we saved the original Doug for floors. And we took out all the walls and put in new walls. It was kind of neat. So the house is new, but we saved the roof and the floor and a ton of structural framing. So the point is, that's an example of preserving and restoring someone's whole family history. And the house is the same house, but it's got real walls and real hardy siding and real wood siding inside and outside. So it's like a little jewel box, because before it was single wall with just 3/4 inch wood. But it looks the same, meaning it's the same size, but now it's all white with black windows. And it's just a testimony of how you can restore someone's whole life memory in a house. Because she grew up there, my client, and her girls are going to get this house and it'll last for generations. And it's just so cool. And we saved the father's Japanese garden, because the father was a Japanese immigrant and he became a master landscaper in Laguna Beach. And he had a Japanese garden in the front yard that we're still taking care of. We took care of it all through the construction. He blessed it every day. So I go out there and say something nice to the garden every day. So that was my favorite, most rewarding one lately. And then the other one is just taking a 1938 house and ripping it apart inside and taking all the walls out and making it modern for modern day living. There was nothing architecturally wonderful about this house, but now it's fit for today's modern living. And open rooms, open family rooms function so much better. So I'm kind of a master at that. And then, you know, I don't do a lot of new ground up, but I do them. But I like the remodels. I like making things work, making things better. So those are my two favorites.
Very cool. So where are you headed next? Like, what's the next step in your career? Because it seems like you're always looking to grow.
Well, my next step is take my $10 million and turn it into $100 million, because I might be doing commercial projects, more commercial projects, because I'm already doing the Laguna Beach Fire Department remodel and prevailing wage jobs for public works. But I might look at some larger scale commercial. And then, of course, I'm going to do larger scale residential. But I'm doing podcasts nationally to spread the word that you can be in construction, because you can do what I do, because I already proved it can be done. And inspire women and men that there's a wonderful business of the design build arena and so many jobs and so much opportunity that I think people are overlooking it. And just getting into, again, project management is key. So I'm pushing that nationally. And then I'd maybe someday have a foundation to support young men and women to go that direction into construction, design, build. Because whether it's commercial or residential, you're doing the same thing. But it depends on how much you're managing, but you're doing conception to completion, project management oversight, commercial and residential. It's the same. So just more awareness that there's wonderful jobs. You don't have to be an architect. You don't have to be an engineer. You don't have to be a specialist like with a high degree or PhD. You could just be in project management. And that's an asset. Or an organized person is the biggest asset. Willing to work and learn is the biggest asset anybody can have. So it's all about making a listing, just getting it done and now showing up, you know, being present.
So we're going to switch over to our rapid fire questions as we wrap up this conversation. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Favorite footwear brand for work?
Well, cowboy boots, of course.
Any particular brand?
I don't wear the Lucchese, the real expensive ones. I wear a custom-made boot from Mexico because I get them in my local area. And they're wonderful, but I do not believe in spending $800 to $1,000 on a pair of cowboy boots for work. But I like Juno Jones work boot, and mm-hmm. I have the red.
What's a tool you can't live without for work?
My phone.
What are you currently reading or listening to?
You know, it's funny, the power of the unconscious mind, because everything we think is based on that little voice in your head. And I've already done coaching on this, and what is my little voice telling me? So the power of the subconscious mind is a good way to analyze where you're at with self-awareness and who am I and what should I be doing? So I like stuff like that. I also like quantum physics. I'm weird. It's okay.
Nothing wrong with any of that. We like nerdy. All right. So How can the Space to Build community connect with you?
You can always go to my website just to cruise around, and there's a contact form, but my website's just my name, Julie Lawton, L-A-U-G-H-T-O-N. But you can always email me too and ask questions, because this community is my community, and it's fun to get questions if you ever have any. And just email me at julie@julielawton.com. And then my cell phone's on the website, or they can reach out to you and we can do a podcast together.
Thank you so much for being here today, Julie.
Thanks, Catherine. This is the blast. You're great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here today. If you would like to chime in on the conversation, you can find us online at space2build.co. Yes, it's .co. We are also on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at space2build. When you have a moment, do you mind leaving a review for this podcast? I read your reviews at the end of each episode, and I'm constantly looking for ways to improve. Any ideas to improve your experience will be more than welcomed. And remember, you belong here. There is so much space for you in our industry.